Let's get ready to study God's Word. Greetings to one and all. Welcome to another episode of Rightly Divide the Word of Truth. This is Andrew S. Baker, and today's devotional is entitled, I'm Too Busy for This. Please visit our podcast page at BibleStudy.ASBZone.com, where you can find links to our previous episodes, our Bible study resources, and much, much more, including over a dozen ways to access our podcast. Our verse for this study comes to us from Nehemiah chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. And it reads, And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Before we get into this study, let's have a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for the privilege of your word. We thank you for the stories that are contained therein. We thank you for these lessons from the book of Nehemiah, and we invite your presence to be with us. Give us wisdom and understanding that we will rightly divide your words of truth as we focus on this devotion for today. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm too busy for this. We're going to go to Nehemiah chapter 6. The story of Nehemiah is a good one. Lots and lots of lessons can be discerned, but we're going to camp out in chapter 6 for today. And if you want some background, Nehemiah is looking to rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that was broken down, with the sanctuary being built up and the services being instituted. It was time to build the walls and restore the gates. And so Nehemiah is working on that. We're in chapter 6, and he has some opponents. And if you read in earlier chapters, especially in chapter 4, you'll see that they were trying to get him distracted from his mission. They were trying to intimidate the Jews. They were trying to undermine the Jews. They feigned assistance for the Jews. There was a whole set of things that went on. But now Nehemiah is here, and they're moving forward. Nehemiah 6:1 says, Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Geshem the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had builded the wall and that there was no breach left therein, though at that time I had not set up the doors upon the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent unto me, saying, Come, let us meet together in some one of the villages in the plain of Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease, whilst I leave it and come down to you? Now, it's interesting that he should say that as a message. I mean, if you go back to some of the prophets like Haggai, and you look at the book of Ezra, as you come into the story of Nehemiah, you'll see that there were lots of fits and starts with the children of Israel after they got the command from Cyrus, and there was a lot of opposition. And so they made some progress, and they didn't make some progress, and they made some progress, and there were holdups. And there was not a whole lot going on. They had gotten the sanctuary up, and we see it here. The sanctuary is up, and now, thus far, Nehemiah has gotten the wall up, which he did between chapters 4 and 6. This, I shouldn't say he did. He led the people in doing it. But one thing that'll be very clear as you go through the book of Nehemiah is that they are only working when he's working. They really aren't getting a whole lot done when he's not working. So he's leading and guiding and nurturing and instructing and pushing, and the work is getting done. And now the enemies of God's people are trying to get him to stop. They don't want Israel returning to its former greatness. And so they want him to stop. And they've tried intimidation, they've tried a variety of things, but now they set up subterfuge. And they say, come, let's meet together and talk, expecting to do some negative thing to him. And he says, I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? That, it's kind of boldface, but he's basically saying, I'm in the midst of something. I'm too busy for this. I have real work to do. And if I leave to have a conversation with you, the work will stop. And I can't afford for it to stop. So I'm really too busy for this. And they sent him four more messages of the same sort, and he answered them the same way four more times. So five times they said to him, hey, come, let's talk, and this and that. And he says, I can't. So now, verse five. Then sent Sanballat his servant unto me in like manner the fifth time with an open letter in his hand, wherein was written, it is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it, that thou and the Jews think to rebel, for which cause thou buildest the wall, that thou mayest be their king, according to these words. Now that's an interesting strategy, right? They sent an open letter to him. It's not a sealed letter. It's an open letter. So the messenger knows what the letter is. I'm sure they showed it along the way. They made it clear. This is insinuation. This is bearing false witness against at least one neighbor, right? Because what does it say? It is reported among the heathen, and Gashmu saith it. So it's like, hey, people are saying that this guy has said, you know, I don't know. I'm not on top of those things, but I heard it from this guy, or I've heard that this guy is saying it, right? And that kind of innuendo and slanderous reporting is not something we should be doing. Obviously, Sanballat and those folks were enemies of God people, but we need to understand when those kinds of tactics are used that we can't be part of it, because the people who are willing to go there are in fact really the enemies of God's people. So that's not the way we want to discuss things. We need to report only things that have been verified, not things that have been insinuated. Okay. So they sent this open letter so that everybody knows what's sent in the message. And the idea is to intimidate him, because if it wasn't known before, by the time the messenger gets over here with this open letter, it is known. And since it asserts that other people are saying it, many people who read it will assume that other people believe it, and therefore it's legit. Okay? So in verse 7, continuing, it says, and thou hast also appointed prophets to preach of thee at Jerusalem, saying, there is a king in Judah. And now shall it be reported to the king according to these words. Come now, therefore, and let us take counsel together. So look at what they're saying. There's a rumor going about that you are trying to set up your own kingdom at Jerusalem. And it's starting to get spread pretty good. And you know it's going to come before the ears of the king of Persia. So we should come and talk about how we can get ahead of this, you know, this rumor before it gets out of hand. And here's his response. Then I sent unto him saying, there are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. Verse 9, for they all made us afraid, saying, their hand shall be weakened from the work, that it be not done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Okay, so that was the second tactic. So we saw the first tactic, which was, oh, come, let's meet for some nebulous reason, expecting that while he's away, they would detain him or even possibly kill him, because it says, but they thought to do me mischief. And the work would cease, because it's clear to everyone that while he's present, the work is getting done. When he's not present, no work is getting done. Okay. So they tried out a few times and he's like, I'm too busy doing real work. I can't come down, because if I leave, the work will stop. And that would be against my own objectives. So I'm not doing it. Now they send him another time, another message, right? Five, they did the other thing four times, And he responded to them the same way four times. But now the fifth time, they send an open letter saying, hey, there's this report going on about you that you're doing this stuff, trying to set up to be king and have prophets proclaiming your name. Let's talk about this because you don't want this to get out of hand. And he says, you just made all that stuff up. There's none of this stuff isn't happening. This is stuff you've made up. There are no such things done as thou sayest, but thou feignest them out of thine own heart. You notice? He didn't just say, I don't know where you heard that rumor. He said, none of that is true. You are just making it up. And the reason they were making it up was to make the people nervous and think, oh no, we don't want the king to think that. He's going to act upon us in the following way, etc. and so on. Verse 10. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah. Afterward, I came to the house of Shemaiah, the son of Deliah, the son of Mahatabeel, who was shut up. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us shut the doors of the temple, for they will come to slay thee. Yea, in the night will they come to slay thee. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Okay, before I read verse 12. So now there's a tactic, right? There's a new tactic. There's someone already in Judah who is tied to the enemies of God and says to him, hey, listen, I heard that there's a plot to kill you. Let's you and I go and hide inside the temple for your safety. Now, that might seem prudent on a number of levels, but you have to understand something very specific. Nehemiah is not a priest. Okay? Ezra is a scribe and of the priesthood, but Nehemiah is not a priest. So he can't go into the temple rightfully. Okay? He knows that God is not going to sanction him doing something that it is not appropriate for him to do. Even in ancient times, when people ran to the sanctuary for safety, you'll see that they held onto the horns of the altar, which means that they were in the outer court. They were not in the sanctuary portion itself, right? If he's going to be running in where they can close doors, he's inside the sanctuary in a part that where only priests are. And he's communicating to all of the people around him that he's afraid for his life and willing to preserve it at the expense of everyone else. And so here he is saying, should such a man as I flee? And who is there that being as I am would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. And then verse 12. And lo, I perceived that God had not sent him, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me, for Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. Okay? And how did he perceive that? Because the instruction that was given violated biblical principles. Nehemiah could not run and hide in the temple. He was not a priest. He was not a priest. And for someone to be willing to give him that information when they knew it would have violated the law of God, not good. Not good. Okay? Therefore was he hired, verse 13 says, that I should be afraid and do so and sin, and that they might have matter for an evil report that they might reproach me. Right? Because if they couldn't get him to stop the work, they wanted to trip him up and get him to a position where he would damage his own reputation, where he would show cowardice or disobedience to the law of God. Nehemiah knew his work. He knew his job. He was too busy for these distractions. This is something that we need to understand, especially at a time like this. There are many things where we can lend our influence. There are many things going on around us. There are many things in which we can get involved or participate or lead. And we have to make sure that, lo, we perceive whether or not God has sent us on those particular missions. There are many things that are right that are not right for us to do. Meaning, something can be good, but it may not be the thing you're supposed to be doing. It's important that you know what your mission from God is. Because it doesn't matter what someone else's mission from God is, if yours is different. It's important for us to understand what our mission is. It's important for us to be focused on our mission and not to be sidetracked even by things that in and of themselves are good, right? It's not only avoiding the wrong thing that's important. Getting sidetracked by a thing that would not be wrong in and of itself, but is not the thing you're supposed to be doing, okay? It's vital that we understand our role. When a doctor is in surgery operating on someone, answering the phone, even if it's an important call, is not the thing to be doing at that time, right? That's not the time for that. So it can be an action that would, in other circumstances, be right. It can be an activity. It can be a situation that in other circumstances would be okay. But when it takes us away from our calling, it's something that we need to avoid. We need to know when to say, I'm sorry, I'm too busy for this. I'm sorry, I'm doing a great work, and I cannot come down because the work will cease. Nehemiah 6:14 says, My God, think thou upon Tobiah and Sanballat according to these their works, and on the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets that would have put me in fear. And look at how this chapter ends. So the wall was finished in the 25th day of the month Elul, in 52 days. And it came to pass that when all our enemies heard thereof, and all the heathen that were about us saw these things, that they were much cast down in their own eyes, for they perceived that this work was wrought of our God. Right? A couple more verses that wrap up chapter 6, but they're not as pertinent to our specific lesson here. 52 days. You see how much effort they tried to exert to stop him and derail him because of the work he was doing in 52 days, getting all the walls set up, getting the gates put in, getting the doors upon the gates. He was too busy. And once he was able to do that, the protection of the city was ensured. So they were trying so very hard. Make sure when you're doing the work that God has called you to do, you don't get sidetracked doing some other work. Make sure. The work God gives you to do is always a great work. It may seem small in the context of other, you know, what someone else is doing or what you've been given to do before, but because God has given it to you, it is a great work. Make sure that you don't let people talk you out of the great work that God has given you to do something else that may cause that great work to cease. You've got to be willing to tell people, I'm too busy for this. Nehemiah 6:3-4. And I sent messengers unto them, saying, I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease whilst I leave it and come down to you? Yet they sent unto me 4 times after this sort, and I answered them after the same manner. Let's close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. Thank you for the privilege of these lessons that you've tucked all throughout the scriptures. We thank you for men of principle, men of strength, who were willing to say, no, I'm too busy for this. I have a great work that I'm doing on behalf of the Lord, and I'm too busy for these distractions. Help us as we go about our day today, that we will know when we ought to stand up, and for what we ought to stand up, and how we ought to stand up, and when we ought not to be distracted by other things, but that we should finish the work that you've given us to do. Help us to pay attention to the specific project that you've given us above everything else. Help us to know when things come up, to perceive that you are in a new mission or not, that you are in a new responsibility or not, that you're in a new situation or not. We thank you for these lessons again, Lord, and we ask you to help us to apply them, to understand where they apply to our lives, and to put them into practice. In Jesus' name, we ask all these things, please, with the forgiveness of sins. Amen. Thanks again for listening to this podcast. Please feel free to contact us via email at biblequestions@asbzone.com. Whether you have questions, comments, or concerns, we look forward to hearing from you. If you're finding this channel to be a blessing, please take the time to share our page with others. And always keep our ministry in your prayers. Until we meet again next time, may God richly bless you as you prayerfully study His Word.